Good to see y'all. Did you have a good summer? How about the people who are brand new to UVA? Any first years in the house? Any first years? Okay. So I hear your college career got off to a bit of a shaky start. Oh, I'm sorry. I am full of lame jokes. So that's par for the course. I am really glad you're here. We've been praying for you. We've been excited to meet you. Let me just share a little bit about myself. I'm the director of Chi Alpha, and my wife is here somewhere in this room. But her name is Amy. There she is. She's standing up. You want to wave your hands? There she is. Isn't she beautiful? Yeah, she's taken. Sorry. I did well. Anyways, we have been here 11 years. This is our 11th year, so you are making history tonight. You are at the very first Chi Alpha of the second decade. Give yourselves a round of applause. Yes. Yeah. Well done. Well done. You can go write it in your journal. You made history today. I also have a son. He's 6.5 years old. Got a picture of him up here. There he is in the glasses. He doesn't wear those all the time, but takes after his old man. Kind of goofy, but anyways, he's in first grade, and he loves school, and now he doesn't have two front teeth. That was at a wedding when he had front teeth, but he doesn't have those anymore, so his name is Ian, and so that is my family. He loves Pokemon. Anybody like Pokemon when you're growing up? Okay, if you have a fire sale on your old Pokemon cards, come to me, and I'd be happy to talk to you about those. No, just kidding. Anyways. I think we could wallpaper his room in Pokemon cards at this point. A couple more things. If you are here tonight and you're like, wow, there's a lot of people here. Sometimes that's a little bit overwhelming for people when they first come the first week of the year, couple weeks of the year. Let me just encourage you. If you will just plug into Chi Alpha, quickly this crowd becomes a family. How many returners to Chi Alpha would say this becomes a family really, really fast, right? Yeah. We are not about a big crowd. We are about a big family. And so we want to welcome you into our family. So if you'll just give us an opportunity to love on you, that's what we want to do. We want to love on you. We want to embrace you. We want to get to know you. We want you to be a part of our family. And so please don't be intimidated by a lot of people. We are just one big family that loves Jesus and likes to have fun and is a little bit goofy. So at least I'm a little goofy, but that's for another story. Okay. If you could mic me down just a bit, I like to project a bit. We are going to be doing a series this semester through the book of 1 Corinthians. And we're going to call this series, we're going to call it Sinking with Christ. And so we're going to start that next week. We're not going to do that this week. We'll start next week. This week, what we're going to do is I'm going to preach a message that I believe is of crucial importance. Am I still really loud? I feel like I'm loud. I don't mean to put this, okay, I got some nods. Can you hear me in the back okay? Am I too loud? Is it good? Okay. All right, good. All right, then we're good. All right, so we're going to do a message today that I believe puts some very foundational building blocks in place. It's a message where we're going to look over the shoulder of a few guys who got an invitation that changed their life. Now, I don't know if you ever thought about this, but invitations are extremely important in life. Every friendship probably starts with somebody offering an invitation like, hey, do you want to go to O'Hill? I'm eating, you know. Or, hey, do you want to go over to Slaughter and play some basketball? Or some sort of invitation is made, and during that time when that invitation is seized, a friendship starts. Also, every marriage starts with an invitation, doesn't it? Some guy somewhere with his heart thumping out of his chest, right, men? You know this feeling. Your heart is thumping out of your chest. You're like, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to send her a Facebook message. Just kidding. You chicken. Anyways, I can't tell you how many times I almost dialed a girl's number. I mean, that's when you had to do this, you know, but now you guys do this. So anyways, you get up the nerve, you get up the courage, and you finally invite her to dinner. You finally invite her to a movie or a game. Maybe a dinner or a movie would be better than the game, but you invite her to something. And because of that invitation, it launches you into the rest of your life. And little do you know, if you trace it all back, you could trace it back to an invitation. Well, invitations sometimes are plentiful and sometimes they're rare. How many people thought there was a lot of invitations at the activities fair? Anybody a little overwhelmed by the invitations? Like, okay, I could do judo, ballroom dancing, baking club. You know, you're like, boy, there's a lot of opportunities here. But every now and again, you come across an invitation that you say, you know what? That is the invitation of a lifetime. I had one of those before I was a minister. I was a public accountant, and I lived in St. Louis, and I worked for a firm in St. Louis. And now what you have to understand is I grew up in a very small town of about 8,500, and so to go to a professional baseball game alone was a big deal. I played sports year-round. You name it, I played it. And so I start off my internship with this big one of the big four accounting firms, and they're going over the calendar, and they say this, and then you're going to get to go to a St. Louis Cardinal ball game, and we are giving you our suite, our luxury box suite. I'm thinking, sweet, no pun intended, but I think that's amazing. I never thought I would ever step foot into a luxury box suite. I mean, you got to have like a pass to even get on the elevator to get to that floor. And they're like, sorry, sir, you don't have the pass. You know, you're like, okay, I guess I'm way up there. Anyways, and so I was like, this is amazing. So I looked forward to this for pretty much from the beginning of the internship till the day it was on the calendar. Well, it's the day it's on the calendar. And here I am, on my way home from work, going home to change clothes, to get my basketball, or I'm sorry, my baseball clothes on. I don't know whatever that is, but I'm getting that on. And then I'm going to go back to Busch Stadium. So there I am. I'm driving down Interstate 40, heading west to McCausland Avenue, which I lived right off of. And I look down, and my car is heating up. I'm like, oh no. All of a sudden, the lights start coming on, and my car is overheating. Oh, shoot. This is the day I've been waiting for. Not today. And so I have to pull over on the side of the interstate, of Interstate 40, and sit there in rush hour traffic. And no, I am not going to make it. And I'm sure, I don't know if you guys ever lived in a big city where they have a lot of traffic, Northern Virginia, but I used to live there too. Anyways, you ever hear the traffic copter reports? Like, oh, we've got one stalled out on Interstate 270. It looks like it's going to be backed up for 2 miles. I'm sure that was me. It's like, there's a guy on Interstate 40. Looks like he overheated, and I think he's crying right now. You know, it's like, doesn't look like he's going to be at the luxury box suite tonight. Back to you, Bob. You know, like, I'm thinking, oh, I can't believe that this is happening to me. I missed the opportunity of a lifetime. But here's the thing. I missed that opportunity, and, you know, while I was very bummed, let's be honest, I'm no worse off today because of it. But the opportunity of a lifetime that we're going to hear about today is one of those opportunities that if you ignore this opportunity, if you ignore this invitation, it will have huge ramifications on your life. In fact, it will probably be the most important invitation you ever get. Open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. We're going to look at three aspects to this invitation. If you don't have a Bible, that is okay. We have the Bible on PowerPoint for you tonight. So, by the way, we also have free Bibles on a table if you need a Bible on the way out. But there are three aspects to this invitation we're going to look at tonight, and they happen to be the three anchors of our fellowship. So we're going to just basically, as we go through this invitation and look at this, the most important invitation you'll probably ever get, we're also going to be telling you about what it means to follow Jesus and the anchors that we embrace in Chi Alpha. So I believe this. If you embrace these three anchors that I'm going to tell you about, that the scriptures lay out, whether you live at UVA or you live in Vietnam, whether you are a first year or whether you're an alum who has kids 10 years from now, the fact of the matter is, I believe you will thrive in your walk with God if you can just plant these three anchors in your life. Mark chapter 1. We're going to start with verse 14. and it will be on the PowerPoint if you need to follow along there. It says this: after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." He's saying this: the hopes of the whole Old Testament are getting ready to be fulfilled. I mean, this is a culmination point in the scriptures. And then Jesus says, and then this is what Jesus does. As he walks beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." And at once, they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them. And as they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The invitation of a lifetime. Well, there are three anchors that I mentioned that I want to quickly hit on tonight. First one I want to talk about is this. It says, "Come, follow me." The first invitation that Jesus gives to his would-be disciples, but to these fishermen who are manly men, probably extremely strong men, probably calloused hands, blue-collar men. The first invitation he gives them is to follow him. He invites them into real relationship with himself. Now, he invites them to merge their life into him and to live a life of real devotion to him. Now, for that invitation to seem as radical as it really was, you have to understand who Jesus was. This wasn't just any rabbi who was walking up and saying, "Come and follow me." This was Jesus, the Son of God, that we see as we read in the Gospels. He blows your mind. This Jesus that heals the sick, that casts out demons, that takes a little boy's lunch and feeds 5,000, that touches a person who hasn't been touched because he had leprosy probably for years and heals him on the spot. The one who would ultimately go to the cross and pay the price for the sins of the world and would rise again victorious. That's the Jesus we're talking about. In fact, as you read in Isaiah, the Bible says this. It says that there wasn't anything about his appearance that would attract us to him. But yet, what we see is that there was something so authoritative and masculine about Jesus, that these men, these strong men, would drop their nets and follow him. There was something so gentle and compassionate about Jesus that sinful women would come and interact with him. There's something so joyful about Jesus that little kids would run and flock to him. Now, how many people know that little kids can kind of figure people out pretty fast? And you see throughout the scriptures that there's something so joyful and yet so compassionate and gentle, yet so masculine and authoritative that everybody's drawn to Jesus, and yet the wicked hate him. Jesus, the Son of God. One of my favorite quotes is from a lady by the name of Dorothy Sayers. She says this. She says, "To do them justice, those who killed Jesus didn't do so because he was a bore." Exactly the opposite, exactly on the contrary. She says, he was too dynamic to be safe. So he's been left for later generations to muffle up his shattering personality and surround him with an atmosphere of tedium. And then she says this: "We have declawed the line of Judah and made him a house cat for pale priests and pious old ladies." What is Dorothy saying? She's saying this: Jesus was radical. Jesus was powerful. And there was no one who's ever been like him. Holy yet approachable. Authoritative yet humble. Human, yet divine. That is the Jesus who invited these disciples and invites you into a life of devotion with him. See, here's the thing. You know how the disciples responded? We just read it. They drop their nets, they drop their source of security and their source of identity, and they drop it down and they go and follow Jesus. See, because they knew this, if you're going to follow Jesus, you don't just add Jesus into your life. As Andrew was talking about, Jesus isn't content in a corner. He isn't someone you put in your backpacks to improve your ride. But it demands your whole loyalty, all of who you are for all of who he is. As you heard Andrew share, when you bring Jesus out of the corner and you really put your anchor in him, as you heard Sarah's stories, we started off tonight when she met Jesus for the first time, and as I've seen happen in tons and tons of students over the last decade, and it has happened in my life, that when you invite Jesus, the Son of God, into your life and you anchor your life into him, Jesus, the Son of God, will do exactly what he says he will do. He will transform your life. What does he say? Come follow me and I will make you. I will transform you. And that is exactly what he does. So here's the question. Will you respond to his invitation of devotion and live a life of real devotion with him? The second invitation he gives is this. It's an invitation into real community. It's interesting to me that when you see Jesus invite these guys, he invites four of them at the same time, doesn't he? He goes, and there's something that is kind of profound about that, and it's this. We respond to Jesus individually, yet we follow him corporately as a family. And we are to follow Jesus in this brotherhood, sister. In fact, I defy you to read the Bible and show me somebody who didn't live out the Christian faith in community unless they were in prison. The Christian faith is a corporate faith. And our radical individualism has gone a little too far in America, where it's just me and Jesus, you know. And yes, you have a personal relationship with Jesus, but you live it out with his family and brotherhood and sisterhood. See, in this brotherhood and sisterhood that he invites you into, that's where you really learn how to follow Jesus. That's where you learn how to love. That's where you learn how to serve. That's where you learn how to wash other people's feet. That's where you learn how to forgive. That's where you learn to be generous when you have a brother in need or a sister in need. That's where you learn to live out this life that Jesus is teaching you to live. Real brotherhood. Let me put it this way. Whenever I was in high school, I worked out a lot. That's why I'm so large. If you're wondering, it's all natural. They test me all the time. Yeah, see. I worked out a lot in high school. My cousin and I were wrestlers during the season of time. I didn't wrestle all the time, but my cousin was really good. So we worked out together, and he was my workout partner. And how many people know if you work out, you need a workout partner, right? You're taking your life into your own hands if you do not have a workout partner. And so what a workout partner did for me was two things. One is it ensured that I showed up because I'm thinking Adam's there. And if I don't show up, then I'm going to stand him up, right? How many people know that sometimes your workout partner is who gets you to the gym, right? The other thing that your workout partner does is ensures that you do more than you would do without a workout partner. This is when you can really only physically do 10 reps, but he says go for 11, right? And you start to push the bar up, and now you're just pushing for survival because you don't want it to land on your neck. And he so helpfully gets out two fingers, right? And you're like, oh, come on, grab the stupid bar. And he's like, you can do it, you can do it. I'm like, as soon as I get this bar on the rack, you're dead, right? And he gets you there. But that is exactly what a workout partner is supposed to do. They are supposed to spur you on to do more than you would do and to help you reach the potential that you would never reach on your own. And the fact of the matter is you need a spiritual workout partner. Somebody who's going to spur you on. You need a brother that will spur you on. You need a sister that will encourage you. You need a brother that has the same goals as you. You need a sister who wants to journey in the same direction that you want to journey in. We're to follow Jesus in the company of brothers and sisters. Now, you can probably imagine, I'm not saying this to freak you out, but I do a lot of weddings, okay? So it's not to freak you out, but I do a lot of weddings just by nature of being a campus minister. One thing that I notice is oftentimes when I do a wedding, I'll look over at the bride side or the groom side, and guess what I'll find? I'll find their core group standing up with them. In fact, I have a picture. This is of a wedding that I did this summer. This was of a Chinese couple. It was awesome. It got translated into Mandarin. That was so sweet. This was on my Facebook, and I was like, oh, I'll use that picture. The three ladies there that are standing, there's four of them. Three of them were in Chi Alpha with Heidi, who's actually from Singapore. You can see her over here. You can't see her. Anyways, she's from Singapore. James was from China. But those three ladies, 10 years ago, were in a small group together. And they decided that they were going to do real sisterhood together. And they started to live life together. And look what happens. 10 years later, who's standing up with her? Helen from Honduras. Jenny from Taiwan. Celeste from Charlottesville. Right? I love it. In Jesus, there's this brotherhood and sisterhood that transcends anything. And they come together, and these young ladies said, we're going to do life together. And they have done it, and a decade later, they fly across an ocean to go to a wedding with their sister that they've journeyed with for 10 years. That is why I believe in core groups, because I've seen it play out over and over again. But let me tell you, it's not just pragmatic. It's what the Bible teaches. That we come to Jesus individually, but we follow him corporately. And so if maybe you stuffed your card in your back pocket because you're like, I don't know about this whole core group thing. If that was you, you still have time to fill it out. Someday you may need a wedding party, right? Here's the question I have for you. You hope, right? Here's the question I have for you. Will you make Christ-centered brotherhood and Christ-centered sisterhood a priority in your life? Because if you do, you will have an anchor that will bless you for the rest of your life. Final invitation I'll hit fairly quickly. It's this, that Jesus invites us to real responsibility. What does he say? Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. As you come and follow me and do this life together following me, I'll make you fishers of men. What Jesus is saying is this. I have it up on the PowerPoint. What God does in you, he wants to do through you. You're not the end of his mission. He wants to transform your life, but then he wants to get you in the game. He wants you to embrace real responsibility. Here's something that I know. I believe that God strategically positions his people for his purposes. I mean, you see it throughout the Bible. So if you are in Ball's Dobie, it's not just so you can have a sweet dorm. Maybe God has a purpose for you there, and you have a real responsibility that he wants you to embrace. Maybe you're in Hereford, or maybe you're in Lambeth. I believe God may have a purpose for you there. He wants you to live for his glory right there, to be an ambassador right there. In fact, how many people wondered what Chi Alpha, that's a kind of a weird name. Anybody wonder what that means? Chi Alpha literally is the initials that stand for Christ's ambassadors, Christ's representatives. And so whatever dorm you're in, whatever major you're in, whatever circle of influence, God has you there, and he wants you to be a part of what he is doing. So maybe you're a returner tonight, and you've lived out the first two. You've gotten this whole following Jesus, living a life of devotion, of real devotion to him. You've figured, I mean, you're still on the journey, but you've made that commitment. You've also experienced real brotherhood or sisterhood. But the real responsibility, you've been slow to, it's kind of been about you. What God's been doing in your life, he wants to do through your life. He doesn't want it to end with you. And let me tell you, here's the thing that will blow your mind when you experience it. This is when you accept responsibility that God has for you, your joy will go through the roof. Your joy in your Christian life will increase. I've seen it happen hundreds of times. So in Caiapha, here's how we live it out. We live it out with our hallmates. We live it out with our classmates. Next week, after our Chi Alpha meeting, we're going to have an opportunity for you to live it out in this community. We'll have opportunities for you to work with the homeless. We'll have opportunities for you to work with the elderly. We'll have opportunities for you to tutor the inner city kids of Charlottesville. We want to live it out in the community. We also, if you hang around with Chi Alpha, you're going to get sick and tired of hearing about missions because we're all about missions here. We love the nations because Jesus loves the nations. He loves those that are inconvenient. And so I saw a statement. I think so far as a fellowship this year, we've given around $8,000 to missions, college students. We care about the nation. So on spring break, I think we took like 8 missions trips this past year. We have people, I got an email from an alum today who's flying over to the Middle East, who's already been there 2 years, who's given 2 more years over there. We have 3 going to Spain. We are about missions here. And so we want to live it out here on grounds. We want to live it out in our community, and we want to live it out globally and embrace the real responsibility that Jesus gives us. We are blessed. To him who much is given, much is expected. So those are the 3 invitations. Those are the 3 anchors that Jesus asks you to embrace. Will you embrace a life of devotion to him? Will you embrace a life of brotherhood and sisterhood? Not try to do it on your own. And will you embrace real responsibility and say, God, whatever you do in me, I want you to do through me. I want to get in the game. I was reading, this is funny, I was reading my son's Bible to him before he went to bed the day before I prepared this message. And guess what the next passage was in his Bible? It was this. And so, of course, I read it to Ian. I said, hey, Ian, isn't that an amazing invitation? And he goes, yeah, Dad. They got to be in the Bible. You know what? That's a pretty astute observation, isn't it? Because they responded to that invitation, because they said, we're going to put down some anchors, they ended up making history. I have to believe good 20, 30 years later after they received this invitation, that they were probably sitting on their roof. I guess they sat on their roof in that day. They're sitting on their roof drinking some good Middle Eastern sweet tea. You know, just reminiscing about, man, do you remember that day? We smelled like fish, our hands were calloused, we hadn't showered in days, you know. And Jesus came to us. And he invited us to live a life of devotion with him. I got to think that they sat back and said, wow, I am so glad that we did not turn down that invitation. Man, I wouldn't even know you, man. God, I mean, this is hard to believe, but we were fishermen. God used us to change the world, spreading what Jesus has done. This is amazing. Can you believe that what we would have missed out on? We would have missed out on walking with the Messiah, the Son of the living God. We would have missed out on the brotherhood. We would have missed out on being a part of what God was doing. Can you believe? Man. Here's the thing. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus gives the same invitation to another man. But we don't know his name. You know why we don't know his name? Because how he responded. We know him as this, the rich young ruler. This rich young ruler had the same invitation. Jesus said, follow me. But this guy had some other things that he wanted to do. He had some other priorities. He He was still making his millions. He was still living the life, and he wasn't for sure that he was ready to give all that up. He had other priorities, other things he was pursuing. Well, as he weighed it all, he said, "I regretfully decline." Send in his RSVP. Next slide. There you are. Jesus said, "Okay." Now, I have to believe about 20 or 30 years later, he's sitting on his nicer roof, drinking better sweet tea that only he could afford. And he was reading, you know, the press. I mean, they didn't have press, but you know what I'm saying. The heralds were coming around, you know. Everything's got out that day, in those days. I've got to wonder, guys, did he sit back and replay that day over and over again in his head when Jesus gave him an opportunity to be a part of what was going on? Because at this point, Jesus has died on the cross. Jesus has risen from the dead. The good news of Jesus is going around the world. Jesus is revolutionizing the world. And he's sitting there thinking, man, if I would have just taken the invitation, I could have walked with the Son of God. I could have had this brotherhood with these guys who are now changing the world. I could have been a part of what God is doing in the world. Instead, I've just got a pile of money that's meaningless. I mean, this is my opinion. It's conjecture, but I think it's probably true. I think if we went up and asked him, he would take a mulligan. He would change his decision. With perfect hindsight, he would realize that he missed out on the opportunity of a lifetime. And he had regrets. So here's my invitation to you. As a minister of the Word of God, Jesus extends the invitation to you into real relationship and devotion to him, into real brotherhood and sisterhood with his people, and into real responsibility. Joyfully accept or regretfully decline. The choice is yours. Will you bow your heads with me? The awesome thing about campus ministry is for some of you, this is a great reminder. And then for others of you, you have never heard this in your life. I love that. You're all here. If tonight you want to make a decision, and we don't do this every week, so if you're in Chi Alpha, you know this happens rarely where we have this moment. But the invitation is out, and I would be remiss if I didn't give you an opportunity to respond. The invitation for real relationship, real brotherhood and sisterhood, and real responsibility. If you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus, I invite you to respond to the invitation of a lifetime. This isn't cliches. I've seen it change people's lives over and over again, and I was one of them that was changed. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to make you stand, come forward. I'm just going to pray. And as we pray, if your heart is beating out of your chest right now, because that's the Holy Spirit at work in your heart, drawing you to the Father, open your heart to him and just repeat this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I receive the invitation tonight. And I embrace Jesus. And I anchor my life in Jesus. I want to live a life of real devotion to Jesus. I want to live a life of real brotherhood and sisterhood as I follow Jesus. I want to live in your family. I want to be a part of your family. And I want you to use me. I want you to use me in this world. I want to be a part of what you're doing. I repent of my sin. I thank you that only because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is this moment even possible. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that tonight, the Bible says that as you embrace this real relationship with Jesus, that you become new on the inside, and the transformation that starts as a mustard seed will start to take over your whole life. So you better watch out. Should have warned you. Well, I kind of did in the message, but it is great to have you here. We have a gift we'd like to give you to kind of culminate these three anchors that define our fellowship. And so underneath the far left side of each row is a bag. And in that bag is a keychain. And these keychains are, you'll see them all over grounds. They have this year they have an anchor on them, go figure. And on the back, they just say real. So people are going to be like, dude, what's the thing about real? You're like, oh, I live in real relationship with Jesus. I have real sisters, real brothers that I follow Jesus. And I embrace real responsibility to be a part of what God's doing in this world. Greeters, we need you to pick up some cards. I see some on the edge. So if you guys will come and pick those up, that'd be awesome. So how about once you have a keychain, why don't you go ahead and stand? Is that all right? And some of you along the back, I don't think we have keychains back there. We'll have to get you some, hopefully, sometime. So yeah, once you have your keychain, go ahead and stand. We're going to kind of do the keychain wave. We are so thrilled to welcome you who are new into the Chi Alpha family. We want to journey with you over these next 4 years. We want to be the best big brother, big sister you've ever had. And we want to follow Jesus together with you as the scriptures talk about. I would like to close by praying a blessing over us tonight. And so if you will, just bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each person in this room. I thank you for the story that you're writing in their lives and through their lives. And I just pray a blessing over them. I pray that they would experience real relationship with you, that they would live a life of devotion to you. I pray, Lord, that they would experience true brotherhood and true sisterhood that is rare to find even on these grounds. And I pray, Lord, that they would embrace the responsibility that you have for them and that you would use them for your glory. Lord, I pray that there would be no rich young rulers here who would sit back 20 to 30 years later and have regrets, but that they will sit back, they'll come to reunions, and they'll be reminded of the first Monday Night Live when they received the invitation, when they joyfully accepted your invitation. And I pray that they would look back and see how it has transformed their lives as they rooted their lives in Jesus with his people. In Jesus' name, amen.